This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
I mean, Mark, it's so good to hear y'all's voices. And Mr. Dibbs, I mean, it's just been way too damn long. So it puts a smile on my face.
On 95.7 The Game.
Hold on, let me see if I can get this straight. The Warriors are 3-1.
Yeah.
They look really, really good.
They look
right?
Really good.
Strength in numbers is back. Draymond Green now works for Odyssey. Let's see, what else? Oh, Jonathan Kuminga rebounds.
Uh-huh.
And Nick Friedell is here in the room.
That's right. And he was greeted by his own walk-up song because he's got that much au jus in the building.
Damn right. It's a good day. Hey, Nick, what's going on?
It's a damn good day.
It's a damn good day. River Island's guest line, the athletic Nick Friedell covering the Dubs. What's good, man? How's it going so far?
They look pretty damn good.
They look pretty damn good, don't they?
You know, it is early and a lot of different things can happen, but Steve Kerr said he liked the depth all along, all through training camp. The depth has shown through over the course of the first couple weeks here. And when you start to go into that locker room postgame, guys, as was the case last night, and you see how happy everybody is, that stuff permeates all season. Now, there are a lot of different variables that can pop up and change things, but when you start to see the camaraderie spilling out off the floor and you see guys having fun off the floor and you see the way they're playing on it, you go, okay, the early returns are very, very good.
I'm supposed to be fancy and official here, so I'm supposed to say that Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell is with us. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcast on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts. Okay, so where does that come from? I know it's right. We always do this with sports and teams and that chemistry off the field. It's hard to figure out where it goes. When you can't find it, how do you find it? But who are the particular personalities that have made this ship go?
I think the best answer to that, Mark, is that Steph is Steph, and there is such a respect for that guy in that room. And it's not just the younger guys who want to take a picture with him on media day. It is crazy to
think.
That
was pretty fun.
Like a few weeks ago, you've got Will Richard, who at that point nobody knew on the whole.
Yep.
And he's getting a picture with Steph and sending it immediately to his parents. Like, oh my gosh, I'm here. And now we're a week and a half into the regular season, and he is a rotation piece. He is a solid player who's going to improve throughout the year, who can really help the group. But, Mark, I think the answer is nobody wants to disappoint Steph Curry. And when you have that type of respect and everything filters down, Draymond knows what Steph represents. All those guys love Draymond because of what he represents and what kind of career he's carved out. A huge piece to this puzzle is Jimmy. I think Jimmy is in a great place right now. Of course, that can change as the season goes on, but he got paid. He's in a place where he doesn't have to be the face anymore at this stage of his career, and he knows that this team has at least a chance to win the title that he's never won. So then you start breaking down the rest of the roster, and all the pieces seem to fit together. I think they all really like Horford, although he hasn't played in like 5 days because of the no back-to-back things. But he's fit in well. And then the rest of those reserves, they know their role. They know what they're supposed to do. And they're going out and getting the job done most nights. It's never going to stay the way it always feels so good that it is early. The key will be, can you get different contributions throughout? And that's why I think last night was such a great sign, because here comes Pods, here comes Moody, and the one guy I haven't mentioned yet who's been awesome to start the year is Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, and I think that his fit also comes from a lot of the same places, which is you got the bag. You didn't get the gigantic, big black Glad garbage bag, but you got a nice size bag, which will take care of him for a year, maybe two. And I do think that being with those veterans, they've allowed him to just, hey, come in here, do what the unks want you to do, because now they're all the unks, and you got the youngsters, and so you're paid, and you're paid for now, and if you play the right way, you're going to get the really big bag either here and be the future, or you're going to get it elsewhere. And I don't know if he needed all this to happen for it to crystallize, but my God, Nick, just watching it from afar, he's doing every last thing that we spent the whole summer wondering if he would ever do.
Mr. Dibbs, Jonathan Kuminga deserves all the credit in the world in the first few weeks here, because he came into camp and it was such a distraction. I mean, media day was insane. The Warriors, who are so forward-facing and want a good rapport with the media and go out of their way more than any pro sports team I've ever seen, trying to get people interviews and do different things. Steve Kerr, who is the most media-friendly coach there is, doesn't go to the podium. Mike Dunleavy, who has been around the league his whole life, they don't go to the podium because they don't want the questions that came with, is Kuminga going to sign? What does the rest of the roster look like? It just hadn't been finalized. I will give the veterans credit for this as well, though. Jimmy Butler, Steph, Draymond, they all said, when Jonathan comes in here, we believe that he'll be focused and he'll be ready. To everyone's credit, that is exactly what has happened.
Yep.
Kuminga comes in looking like a different player. Mark, you mentioned he's playing defense. He's getting up and down the floor. He's rebounding. His rebounding numbers the first week have been awesome. He is playing at a different level. When you're getting that on top of what Steph and Jimmy and Draymond can give you, then you start to go, okay, it's coming together a little bit. But the reason why they're off to such a good start in large part goes back to what Kuminga is providing for them every night, because he's been the most consistent guy alongside Steph of the whole group, which is pretty impressive given he was coming into camp. And I remember I asked him, I said, do you really want to be here long term? And the answer was, I'm here now.
I'm here now, yeah.
And everybody in that room went, oh boy, this could get real ugly. If you win, and the guy who was at the center of all the contract issues, negotiations throughout the summer is playing well, all those issues fade away real fast.
I'll tell you what, it's fascinating, and we want to talk about it a little bit more. Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Before I play this for everybody, were you in the room when JK was talking at the podium last night?
Yes.
Okay, so you'll know this. This was part of the Q&A, and I really want to ask you a few questions about this. This is Jonathan talking about what he did in the offseason to sort of change his game.
It's just one of those aspects of my game that I think I just needed to work on and just to improve on. And just going throughout the summer, you know, I sat down, really thought about what can I add on my game that's not scoring, that's not just playing defense, or how can I impact winning. And I think this adding a rebounding mindset, I think, is just a big part of what I just had to go through the summer and just think about it and just, you know, just trying to apply as much as I can. You know, some nights I probably won't grab some, but just having that mindset of just crashing every time, just going out there, even if I don't get those, you know, my presence will help somebody else grab those rebounds. So I think it's just something I've been thinking about, and I think I'm doing pretty well so far, and there's just only way to go and just keeping up that same, you know, that same work.
You said he deserves so much credit. He clearly does. Here's one of the things I got to be thinking is going through Steve Kerr's mind, though, which is, this is awesome, but like everything you just said is literally everything the organization has been begging you to think for 4 years. So why now? What happened? Why did the light bulb finally go on?
I think the very easy answer, Mark, is he knows he wants to get paid in the future. And when you have the carrot that is that hefty NBA deal, extension, next contract hanging there, that should motivate anybody. It's the reason why I think all his teammates were like, business is business. And when the basketball starts, we believe he will ramp things up to a different place. And he has, but I don't think there's any question. When he came into camp, there was lingering doubt all over the organization. Does this guy actually want to be here, not only now, but in the future? Because the thought always was, it seems like he wants to go somewhere else, try to have a bigger role. What somebody got across to him, and in listening to all the different press conferences to start the year, my guess right now would be that it was probably Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy, yep.
Because he's gone through his own contract negotiations in different parts in time. But I think somebody said to him, listen, if you want to get paid and you want a bigger role, the best thing you can do is do what Steve Kerr and this coaching staff are asking of you now, and either it's going to work here in the Bay long term, or you're going to get to go somewhere where they're going to pay you a bunch of more money and you can do whatever the hell you want. And at least early on, he is absolutely buying into that. But Mark, I think it's crucial because we knew the athleticism was there. We knew he could get to the bucket. You just didn't know if he was going to put in the work defensively and rebound. And those are the differences. And I'd say Kerr also said it was the passing that has been the adjustment for Kuminga between last season and the season before that and what you see now.
And you're seeing it on, you know, in many big ways and small ways. Nick Friedell here with us, Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And for me, it's not only the passing, and I was talking to Mark about opening night where it was the penetrate, the ha-ha, and normally it'd be, I'm going up on two or three guys. And in the first half, he had a couple tough fallaways. In the second half, penetrate, pivot, and pitch. He pitched one to Steph. He got one to Pods. Just guys who were open because he drew the defense in and he was able to pitch it back out. Those little, subtle, high IQ plays, which you're seeing now, and they're becoming super common, and it makes you start to dream a little. Because we talked about, Mark and I, like, if you were going to trade him at the deadline, you'd want somebody who can get you 18-8. And right now you have a guy getting you 18-8. So the whole idea about, ooh, the deadline, when's the deadline? Forget the deadline. You've got your acquisition, and it's the real Jonathan Kuminga.
And it's the guy, Mark, to your point, that the Warriors were hoping to see all along.
Right.
That is where everybody kind of goes, the light bulb did flicker on, and everyone went, this is the player we thought he could become. Dibs, he's got to show the consistency. And we're four games into 82, more than 82, because they're going to go to the playoffs, assuming something catastrophic doesn't happen.
Possible bonus game in the cup, too, if things go right.
The cup. Oh, my God.
I love the cup.
He's the one.
There's only two. It's Mr. Dibs and Timmy Bontemps.
Timmy.
There are two people in the universe.
Maybe Adam Silver.
Adam Silver and the checks to come in. Okay, so three people in the world are
one
into the cup.
One more opportunity to gamble.
Yeah,
and that's what Adam and I like. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. There it is. But when you start seeing these performances, especially from a guy like Kuminga, you go, oh boy, Dibs, to your point, though, about the deal, it was always, all right, well, if Kuminga plays well, then maybe they can move him at the deadline and get a couple more pieces in return. If Kuminga's playing at this level, guys, there's no reason.
Right.
Because you have, in theory, everything that you're going to need behind Steph. So it's what makes this season, especially the start to the season, so fascinating. Because everybody was kind of wondering, all right, what does this look like with a team that is so top-heavy age-wise with stars? And what it looks like early on is a team that is deep as hell, that can hit you in a lot of different directions, that is banking on players like Kuminga and Pajemski and Moody to take a little bit of a step. The person who has taken a step early on is very clear. It's Jonathan Kuminga.
Okay, so the next question that's probably too early to really have a good answer to, but I want to ask it anyway. Where do you think he is on wanting to stay with the Warriors?
Well, I'd want to stay right where I am getting to start most of the time, have a huge role, and play with Hall of Famers. When you listen to Kuminga before camp really got going, Mark, it didn't sound like you wanted to be here. It didn't sound like he wanted to have a future in the Bay and he wanted a bigger role somewhere else. As you listen to Kuminga a month later and you start to see him after these games where he's had these great performances, I think it's becoming very clear to him, hey, it's not so bad here. It's kind of fun. And I know that if I keep playing like this, I am going to make so much money from whether it's here from Joe Lacob or from some other team that it's going to happen. So I think the pressure that he had to be putting on himself early, that's all kind of faded away in the moment. So does he want to stay here long term? We'll see. But I think his feeling has to have changed from when he got into now, because everyone's having success. And when you're winning, everything becomes possible.
And when you are getting to cook and play, like, these are the things he wanted.
I was thinking about, when is payday for the Warriors? Has he had his first pay?
Like, every Friday.
Every Friday? Yeah, has he had his first new contract check come in?
I'm sure that it's dropped by now.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I wonder if that was a moment.
Yeah, we're
like, oh, that's,
you look at that direct deposit, you go, things aren't so bad here.
Three and a half times as much as it used to be.
Exactly, tripling.
Yeah.
It's certainly, and these are two letters I haven't said in a month, but it's more than the QO would have been.
The QO.
I spent the whole summer talking about Q's and O's. Get out of here, qualifying.
I mean, that was a mess. But that all feels like a distant memory.
Totally.
Because he's taking care of business on the floor. And when you combine what he's been able to do, guys, the person that we haven't even really gotten into much yet also is Steph. Steph is awesome still. He is that good. When you have a player of his caliber playing at that level, of course you can start to dream, Mr. Dibs, because you look at this team and you go, whoa, 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 whoa. So let me get this straight. The young guys that we were hoping to see some progress from, we've seen early. Draymond defensively is still incredible. Horford fits. Jimmy, that first game in L.A., was a complete dominator and can slow down the game when things get off track and get to the line. And then, oh, by the way, we've got this 37-year-old dude who's the baddest you-know-what on the block, who scares the living you-know-what out of all these teams around the league, who's dropping 35-footers to beat up on Jokic. People should be happy watching this team, but as I get dropped back into being around this team day to day, I cannot stress to you enough just how interesting it is being around Steph at this stage and watching the rest of his teammates watch how he prepares, because they know without any shadow of a doubt, guys, that he is still that dude. And when you have that dude at the top of your team, you feel like you always are going to have a shot to win every night, no matter what happens.
And if you watch that dude do what he does, not only in the offseason where he puts in more work than almost anybody, but the way he goes about his day-to-day, forget how much you want to win for him and give him one for the thumb, but you watch how he goes about it, the fact that he's still this good at 37, and it's infectious. And when you're, maybe that's part of the Kuminga story and certainly all the other youngsters, it's like, how do I not work as hard as this guy who is 15 years older than me. You need to go out there and, you know, lead by example. He's always done that. But when it comes to work ethic and all the things that he's done and the hunger he has, that's got to permeate the whole locker room.
Dibs, you nailed it, because they just don't want to let that guy down.
Yeah.
And it's so much more they're learning from what they see rather than what Steph says. It's not that Steph doesn't speak and isn't vocal, but that's always been the Draymond role. Draymond's like the big brother protector, and he's going to scream and yell at somebody who gets in the face of one of his teammates. Steph is the lead by example. He's the best shooter we've ever seen. He's going to the Hall of Fame the second his career ends. But they see the regiment that it takes to stay at the level that he's at. And this goes to everything that the Warriors have been built around since Steph has been here, and certainly since Steve Kerr got here, and they kind of combined forces. Steph sets the tone in that building every single day. And when you know that that tone is what it is from one of the all-time greats, anybody else who walks in there has to think to themselves, I am not going to let this guy down. I'm going to put the work in I need to get better so that I can play at the level he needs me to be at. And I personally, being around this team, I absolutely think that's why they're off to such a hot start, because Steph is awesome still. And everybody else is watching that going, I got to do my part too.
Yeah, and he has to do a little bit less, seemingly at least, than he's had to do in the recent past. Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell, our friend with The Athletic covering the Warriors, is with us here in studio. Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Hey, what's the plan when Melton is ready to go?
Well, that is a hell of a great option if you're right in this front office. Mark, I don't think they've figured it out yet. They just figure, let's get him back on the floor and we'll see where the minutes line up. But that's why, again, it's scary to be so positive early in the year because so many things can happen. But Melton, we haven't even seen yet, and he's still a hell of a player if his body can hold up. Horford is off and on, but he is going to be right there when they need him, assuming that he stays healthy. You still have Seth Curry as like the 13th, 14th guy you can drop into a game when you need some offense. I think for Melton, though, specifically, they just figure, all right, we'll let these young guys continue to play to find their rhythm and get their footing underneath them. And when Melton's ready, he's going to get his shot because they know what he can do. But as far as holes on the roster, everything lines up pretty well right now. The thing that scares me the most is big men depth. TJD, Post, they have their moments, but are those guys you're going to rely on when the games matter the most? That's what would scare me, at least early, but those are the kind of moves that we can talk about more in January, February. As far as wing depth goes, though, they've got so many different ways they can hit you, and with Richard coming on the way he has early and providing that stability sometimes defensively, you plug Melton into what they got and you go, okay, things are lining up.
And it's a mix and match depending on who you face. Do you need your defensive 100%. Guys, or do you need more shooting? Do you need Seth and Buddy more, or do you need, you know, GP2 and Melton with a dash of Richard? So that's what makes this fascinating, and I'm sure it's a problem that Steve Kerr is relishing. But tonight, small sample, old guys against slightly older guys. Who do you think that they start? Do you think you keep coming with Horford off the bench?
Yeah, because Dibs, if you're only going to play Horford 20 minutes, and they've stuck to that at least outwardly all along, then there's no use to, and Kerr's mentioned this, you're going to start him, there's going to be a break when you pull him to get the minutes under control, then he's going to come back, but is he going to be out there to close? Well, if he starts and he closes, then you worry, is his body just going to be sitting there getting ice cold on the bench? I would expect him to kind of stay with what they got. The matchup that I'm curious about and the person to focus on, to me, is Kuminga. Can he maintain what he's been doing? How does he look against the guys that the Clippers can throw out there? And if Kuminga becomes this guy that you can count on every night, and certainly you guys know better than I do, that has not been the case the last few years since he's been here. But if you're counting on Kuminga every night, the rest of that roster opens up in a major way, because, Dibs, this goes back to your point. You can pick and choose which way you want to go night to night. All right, somebody doesn't have it going. All right, we'll throw this guy in there. We'll see what happens. If Kuminga becomes that type of stalwart for the group as far as their preparation goes, I think the sky could be the limit for this team. But, and here's the caveat, as we all know, it's you've got all these guys who are 35 and over. What happens the first time one of those guys goes down? Because it all looks good right now because you've got everybody playing, everybody's feeling good. How does the dynamic change if and when somebody gets that injury and everything has to shift?
And they need to stay up late tonight.
Very late.
Yeah, I don't know if they're ready for that. Old
very,
guys like to go to
late.
Bed,
yeah.
And this game doesn't start till 8
And they got to figure out who guards Zubats.
Yeah.
That's the big question.
Here comes Big Al, at least for his 20 minutes.
Yep. For 20 minutes. Great to see you, buddy.
Yep. Always, guys. Always enjoy it.
Can't wait to do it every week. That's Nick Friedell, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We'll react to some of that. We're going to do Grandy's Grades coming up next. Still got to do that from the Niners-Texans game. John Feliciano at the top of the hour. This is Willard and Dibs.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Dub Nation, it's Stephen Curry. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Oh, really?
The breaks. Coming never.
I know. The breaks.
Conversations we have during the break.
Oh, that's the podcast I want to do.
We laugh. We cry. We say things that we actually don't really say.
No, I know. Because they're, you know.
It happens.
They're inappropriate.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was fun with Nick Friedell.
Always. He calls me Mr. Dibs, which makes me feel...
He does call you Mr. Dibs,
makes which makes me feel old, but also makes me feel loved.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's a little combination of
like Mr. Dibs.
Mr. Dibley.
It's pretty fun.
Or Dibs, you're just Mr. Dibs.
Yeah.
It's like I'm going to get formal on you and then get totally informal on you.
Yeah.
It's a nice blend.
You know great guy, mean? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a place where I don't need to wear a collared shirt, but they have a great steak.
Yeah, good point.
That's kind of what it feels like to me.
Or you wear a nice sports coat, but no tie. Like
it's that's
like,
what he was doing.
It's like Fitz and Kalena. After a win, they don't wear ties. After a loss, they put the ties back on. I love that subtlety of the local broadcast.
Nobody's wearing ties anymore.
They are off a loss.
Yeah, I know. But someday they won't have to. I mean, NBA coaches are wearing sweats.
I guess,
what
yeah.
What are we doing?
Yep. Well, I'll be wearing a tie Saturday night. Rare tie wearing for me.
Why?
It's the Marin Athletic Foundation Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and I'm the master of ceremonies.
You could do that without a tie.
I could, but I won't. Just okay. Because, you know, I'm out there running the show.
Yeah.
Try to be as professional as possible.
No, but I that's what I mean. I think the whole idea of what's professional has changed.
It has.
And it will continue to change through the years.
The goalposts have moved, which is one of your specialties.
I mean, I sit here over here working in radio, and I tell people who work in the tie industry, you better watch out. I think that you're going to be out of a job here in a few years. No more ties. Like, you're going to be a wedding industry. That's it. That's it. And even
funerals.
That. Yeah. Well, okay, yeah. Weddings and funerals.
Yeah.
But even that, you don't have to necessarily do that anymore. I didn't wear a tie at our wedding. No tie.
Yeah, I wore a tie at mine.
Yeah, I know you did.
Both of them.
Yeah. Well.
Let you know about the third.
Exactly. I've worn a tie at weddings before. It didn't work. So, anyway.
There you go. Yep.
Hey, real quick, before we got Granny's Grades here in like 5 minutes. It's time for Triples for Autism. Brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Warriors made 19 three-pointers last night. Another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society, San Francisco. Pods and Moody had 5 each. Steph with 4. Jimmy and Draymond each had a couple. And Gidiculous was able to get one in there as well. Nice job. That's the 4th donation of the year for Triples for Autism. If you'd like to get involved, maybe make a donation yourself to autism, go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to pettinellifp.com. I want to give Jonathan Kuminga a different compliment that I don't think anybody's given him yet. I think it's possible he's a really good poker player.
You think?
I do, because the whole world has decided in 4 games, well, now you don't need to trade him. If he's going to go rebound and make the right pass, then why would you trade a 22-year-old athletic freak? Why would you do that? I agree with that sentiment. How's Jonathan feel about that? Does Jonathan want to sign an extension with the Warriors? And again, this is all if.
It's wild hypotheticals.
Totally, but we're 4 games
reckless
in.
Reckless hypotheticals.
It's not reckless.
Just
because,
kidding.
No, but yeah, look what we're looking at. We're looking at somebody who looks like a completely different player. He has taken a different mental approach to the season. It's exactly what he said after the game last night. That's what he said. He said, I spent all offseason trying to figure out how I could affect the game in ways other than my scoring. And then that's exactly what he's done. So if he's going to go out there and represent exactly what the Warriors want, well, then they're not going to want to trade him. But what does Jonathan want? Are these 4 games and these conversations with Jimmy Butler and a meeting of the minds with Steve Kerr to where he is now starting and playing over 30 minutes a game, is that all enough for Jonathan to be like, oh, okay, we can just do this here? There's no answer to the question. It is a hypothetical, but it is me wondering aloud. We can be all as excited as we want, but takes 2 to tango, and this thing doesn't work beyond this season and next season unless Jonathan also likes what's happening here.
Right.
I wonder.
I also wonder a little bit, because if you look at just shot attempts per game, he shot it more last year. He shot it more 2 years ago per game than he is right now. And the reports in the offseason were, you know, from his agent, he wants to be a 1. He wants to be able to go out there and cook.
Right.
And well, right now he's taking the 3rd most shots on the team. So you're not the 1. You won't ever be the 1 while Steph and Jimmy are here. You're going to be the 3. But you're playing well and you're doing the right things, and you're 3-1. So ultimately, what is the most important thing to Kuminga? Because let's just play this year out and the Warriors do whatever they do short of a championship. They have a good year. He fits. He does this most of the year, and he gets to the end of the year and the team says, yep, we're going to bring you back on the team option. How about one more year of this, Jonathan? You're going to make $24 million, which is not peanuts, but this kind of a trajectory he's on right now is more of a $35 or $40 million a year that he's having. So I wonder if he goes through a year of this, if that is enough for him to be excited to stay for one more year.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know. I don't obviously,
because it is a team option.
It's a team option. You know? So that's, he signed it. So I would imagine that if they pick up the option, then off he goes to play another year next year. We're way ahead of ourselves on that. I just wonder where he sits on this. I wonder where he, maybe, you know what I mean? A few more games in, I don't think it's a tonight question. I don't think it's a Thursday question. But, you know, another week or two, if this kind of play is just going to happen every night and you are going to be a starter and you are going to average almost 20 a night, I mean, someone might want to ask again, dude, do you want to be here? And see if the answer changes from, well, I'm here now. Because that's what the answer was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Well, 31 minutes a game right now, yeah, through four. Last year it was 24. The year before it was 26. Last year there were DNPs. And now, the way things are going, he's going to start and he's probably going to finish.
And
so
finish.
If playing time was the number one thing that was bothering him, well, that's kind of been solved, at least the way he's been playing.
We're going to do Granny's Grades here in just a second. John Feliciano joins us at 5. If you're just joining us, the Niners did make a minor trade today. A little bit of extra news on that. Keon White, who is a defensive end the Patriots weren't using, kind of a draft bust for them 3 years ago, a second-round pick who they weren't using. He did have 5 sacks last year, and Matt Barrow sent out that the Niners were reportedly impressed with him when they played the Patriots last year. The Niners won that game 30-13, but they noticed White, who in 53 snaps had 3 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 2 quarterback hits. And so he led the Patriots team in snaps that day on the defensive line, caught the 49ers' attention, and a year later, he's a 49er.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sometimes the impression a player makes against you is enough for you to go out and make a move. And this is a very small amount of draft capital. It's basically a pick swap from a 6th and a 7th.
Right.
And he was buried on their depth chart. He was a healthy scratch last week for New England. So it's an opportune move. And he doesn't have to come in here and immediately wreck games. But can you be a body who plays 60% of the snaps and actually pressures and maybe hits the other quarterback?
I don't know. Yeah, they need as many.
I'm not asking too much here, Mark.
You're not. They need those bodies. They've got a body to go chase Jackson Dart coming up this weekend. So, yes, Niners move from the 6th round to the 7th round next year. Patriots did that exact same trade twice today. They also got together with the Steelers and did the whole move up to the 6th round from the 7th round thing and sent safety Kyle Duggar to the Pittsburgh Steelers, where they've had a bunch of injuries. So you're seeing some deals happen, but they're happening sort of from contender to contender.
Yeah.
I think the non-contender deals are not going to come until after this
probably
weekend.
And yeah, you're going to sit back and wait for the highest bidder to come in. But when you look at the Niners, they are dead last in quarterback knockdowns per pass attempt, dead last in pressure rate, and they're not really close in either one. Yeah. So your pass rush right now is 32nd out of 32. So if this is how you're going to try to address it, all right, maybe you go from 32nd to 29th, and then you try to get to 27th.
I mean, I don't even
care. Just get better, right?
Just go get the quarterback. Let him feel you. That's a preview of the grade that we're going to give the front 7.
Yep.
But let's give everybody a grade. We do it every Tuesday. It's Grandy's Grades.
All right, yes, it is. Always better to do this off of a win, but we'll just have to make do with what we got this time. We go, as always, through all the different positions. We start on offense with the quarterback. I know initially you might look at 15 points. You look at Mac Jones throwing an interception, only 193 yards. You might think this was a bad day for Mac Jones. I didn't think it was all that bad. I thought Mac performed pretty darn good. It was elsewhere that let him down, including his offensive line and his skill position players. I thought Mac was fine. A B- for Mac Jones in this game for me.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've got him at as well. B-. I mean, sure, you're in kind of a desperate late game situation when he throws his interception. That is an interception that's on him, but not all interceptions are built the same. I wasn't overly offended by it. Again, he suffered from drops, key drops. Juwan Jennings in this particular case, again, He suffered from poor protection from his offensive line, and we know his limitations, and apparently had another lower body injury that he suffered in this game with kind of a knee bruise. But the Niners were not able to move the ball. At no point did I look at it and say, that's because Mack is making poor throws or poor decisions. Kyle Shanahan did say after the game, he missed some plays. So I don't think it was a great game, but I think that's reflected by what we just gave him at B-.
Yeah, I had him at a C+. He was beleaguered. He was under siege. There were a couple plays where the check down was available and he didn't take it. A couple of nice scrambles on one bad wheel, maybe two bad wheels, and a couple of the biggest plays of the game. The deep shot to Juwan. You leave everyone in to block. Beautiful ball. And the other one to the rookie, was it?
Jordan Watkins.
Jordan Watkins, yeah. Thank you.
Jordan Watkins.
High throw had to be, and it went right through his hand. So those were plays that he made, they didn't, so I gave him a C+.
All right, up next is skill positions. That's wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs. It was not much from any of those groups. George Kittle had an awesome touchdown catch. Jake Tonjes on National Tight End Day also got in on the action. Other than that, a lot of negatives. There was the drops that you're talking about, one by Juwan, one by Jordan Watkins. There was the really bad Juwan Jennings face mask penalty that took away a 13-yard Mac Jones scramble. You got nothing from Christian McCaffrey. Not that that's necessarily his fault. Probably more to do with the offensive line and game script. But you really got nothing from your skill positions other than that one great George Kittle catch. A D for skill positions from me.
C-, and a lot of the demerits are what you pointed out. Christian McCaffrey had a couple plays where he made something out of nothing. The Kittle catch was fantastic. The Tonjes grab as well. And also the Juwan Jennings catch at the goal line. I think that was on third down. It was a third and very long, third and 17. He goes up among two,
yep.
And he fought for it. He took a lick, and that eventually led to the Tonjes touchdown. So some positives. I was a little bit more gentle and gave him a C-.
I did too. I don't want to go. To me, D's and F's are like if you're leading the charge for why they lost. And for me, I think you lost this game in the trenches. So we'll get to that with the offensive and defensive line. But two drops are two drops. Some key plays that need to be made. I just don't know what the real opportunities were for the skill position players for the most part in this game. I'd have given them a higher grade if they did more with the opportunities they had. They didn't. But I don't see them as the main problem. So C- for me.
Well, let's get to the main problem. The offensive line. I have a little bit of, I feel for him a bit because you're down two starters and you're going up against a great defensive unit. Will Anderson is one of the toughest guys to block in the NFL, but when you consider the Niners only ran the ball eight times, there were two other Mac Jones scrambles. Those were not called runs, but eight called runs that stood in this game, and the fact that Mac Jones had no time to throw almost every time that he dropped back, I thought it was a disastrous game. I can't give an F because it's an offensive line unit that is young and inexperienced for the most part going up against a great unit, but a D-. They were terrible.
Yeah, I went with a D for a lot of the same reasons. I don't think necessarily this group is as awful as we're making it out to be this week, considering I think that's the best defense in football, number one. And number two, yes, missing two of their five starters. But then the rest is the rest. You know, you have those ends with Anderson really kind of leading the way with Texans. They had a day, and McKivitz got really, really beat. And we're waiting for Dominic Pooney to get healthy and look a little bit better, and he's not. And they completely abandoned the run game because they just couldn't move the ball with it. So I can't do anything better than a D.
It's a D for me as well, and I'm just looking at some of the notes. And in the opening possession, you come out with illegal formation. You've got Hennessy gets beat, McKivitz gets beat. Third quarter, McKivitz gets beat, back-to-back plays. Part of it is on coaching. We'll get to that later. But they had a really hard time getting anything going on the ground. You guys mentioned it. They had to abandon it, and Mac was just getting pummeled back there. So I gave him a D.
Over to the defensive side of the football, the front seven, that's the down linemen and the linebackers. This is an incredibly young Niners unit, and they had more injuries in the game, so I feel for them in that regard. But you're also going up against one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive line in the NFL, and they made C.J. Stroud look like a good quarterback. And I think he still is a good quarterback, but the point is he's looked terrible all season long because of that offensive line. The Niners' defensive line and the linebacking crew did not get to C.J. Stroud at all. I thought they were absolutely terrible in this game as well. A D-minus for the front seven for me.
D-minus, yeah, and you can throw in 118 yards on the ground for Marks and Chubb. Stroud with a couple of scrambles, but you really hit on it, Grandy. 30 for 39, C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
And I think you end up hitting him twice, and even the interception you got was more of just a case of him throwing it because the half was going to end. It wasn't because he was under immense pressure, and it's got to get better. The trade today, Keon White added. Hopefully that will get you a little bit more pressure. But I was really disappointed with that total effort. They almost had 500 yards of total offense against you. It's a D-minus.
I'd like to have compassion.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get that they're young. I get that there were more injuries. I understand. That was an F. That was an F, which stands for bleeping F.
Mm.
Okay? I've said it all week. It's the worst offensive line in football, and they look like a brick wall this time around. I don't care who you are, but you've got to find your way to C.J. Stroud. You have got to make tackles when Nick Chubb and Woody Marks, not stars, are in front of you. They did next to nothing. I can count how many plays that group made, like actual plays. I can count them with zero fingers. So for me, it's a total F.
Up next is the secondary. This is where I gave my worst grade of the day. And I know that defense is a team game, and the defensive line and how quickly they can get pressure on a quarterback is going to impact how well a secondary can play. But when you consider the Texans are down their three top receivers that they, you know, if everyone was healthy in this game, they don't have Christian Kirk, they don't have Nico Collins, they don't have Tank Dell, who's still recovering from a really, really rough injury from last year. And you got beat to the tune of C.J. Stroud throwing for 318 yards and two touchdowns. You did have an interception to stop that streak, but also D'Amador Lenore didn't get out of bounds or didn't get down in time, whatever. And that's still largely a healthy secondary group for the Niners. You don't really have any absences there currently right now. And they did that versus that Texans pass offense versus those wide receivers. I thought it was terrible. An F for me from the secondary.
I went D on this one only because I'm a firm believer that the Niners do their defense from the front to back. In other words, you got to be able to rush the passer to give the secondary a chance. And if you just let any quarterback sit back there and pick you apart, that's exactly what he's going to do. So that's kind of where my compassion went, along with the fact that even though it was a stupid interception that shouldn't count, it was an interception. It's the first one they've had since, like, I don't know, the Obama administration or something like that. So whatever it was, I gave him a couple points for that and ended up on a D.
D plus for me. They got a pick. They got a pick.
So the most worthless pick you could ever have.
It's not, and I don't know if he should have gotten out. I think that's a big ask for him to like be able to count it down. If you look deep in the weeds, as I do, opening possession, third and one, Jair Brown, tackle for loss, forces a field goal. There were a couple of those plays where the secondary actually rose up and made an important play, but I'm looking at my notes. Noel goes for 45 yards, Mustafa beat. Brown had that blitz and he just missed. Mustafa fell down on one. It was a disaster, but they got a pick. It's a D plus.
Oh, come on. Up next is special teams. I had a hard time with this grade because I didn't really think special teams did a whole lot because they didn't have a lot of opportunities. Eddie Pinheiro did not kick a field goal in this game, made just one extra point. That was it. Now, the punts were good, and honestly, the field position game, it favored the Niners. The kickoff return by Brian Robinson was one of the big reasons why they scored their first points just before the half. So they were definitely good. I don't think they had enough opportunities to be great. A B plus on special teams.
A minus.
A minus.
The opening possession, you go three and out, you punt it, and they're backed up to the six. You mentioned the kick return. That led to a touchdown, and Pinheiro kicked and made what he had to make. And you know what? Sky Moore ran away from a few balls inside the 10. It's an A minus.
I'm going A. I'm going A because, like, Grandy, you said it, like, they didn't have an opportunity to be great, but what do you have in life? You can only do what you have an opportunity to do. And the special teams did what we asked them to do every single opportunity they got. So it's not their fault. It's kind of like having a really easy schedule, but then winning all of the games. So, okay, fine. I'll give you an A.
Last but not least, it is coaching. Not a good performance by the Niners coaching staff. I don't know how much you want to include Robert Saleh in this. Obviously, he's been amazing so far this year. I thought some of the way that they defended on third downs was questionable. The amount of space they gave to Texans receivers on third and fours, third and fives led to easy conversions. The game plan offensively, I know it kind of gets hijacked when the opposing team goes on a 10-play drive and suddenly you're behind double digits and you've held the ball for like 3 minutes in the entire first half. I know that it's hard, but you got to find a way to get the ball to your studs more often. Christian McCaffrey, only 11 total touches. That's unacceptable. A D coaching for me. I just did not like it from the beginning.
Yeah, I get it. I go C minus. It's hard for me when I see certain things like on the very first play of the game, you walk out there and have an illegal shift or illegal motion or whatever to a degree that has to go on coaching. I think it's more of a player mistake. But bottom line is, I don't know what kind of opportunities they really had to run the game plan they want, but that's partially on them. The guys came out flat. They're super short on having the horses. But as Kyle put it, the guys who are out there have to play as well as they can. They did not. C-minus for me.
C-minus. Didn't love all the play calling, and Robert Saleh's blitzes were so predictable. Third down, oh, now we're going to blitz, and they still didn't get home. That's not necessarily on the coaching, but by and large, when your team comes out flat, that's a reflection in large part on the coaching, so I also gave him a C-minus.
All right, and that's Grandy's grades.
Go Randy's
grades.
Hopefully
it's better next week.
Every Tuesday. Well, yeah, it better be.
A lot of red pen on that sheet.
That was weak. All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, here for Mungo. Mungo Feliciano.
Shut up!
No, we won't. We're going to talk directly to you. John Feliciano on the Niner offensive line the last 2 years, now with us, talking about how the Niners need more offensive linemen. So this ought to be an interesting conversation, and it's coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.